From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with a local and statewide news update. Juneau's students are going back to school in 2 weeks, but they're not physically going back to school. So many parents will have to confront the city's lack of childcare all over again. The Juneau Assembly's Economic Stabilization Task Force has been working on policy recommendations to address the childcare issue. The Assembly is taking up those recommendations in a committee meeting this evening. One concrete step the task force is pushing is to create a staff position responsible for designing a temporary city-backed childcare program for the duration of the pandemic. Deputy City Manager Mila Cosgrove said a lot of thought and effort needs to go into creating more childcare in Juneau. Decisions need to be made about physical space, staff, budgeting, even what the fundamental goal should be. She discussed that last point in a July 30th task force meeting.
Are we looking for a space where school-aged children can come and we know that they're safe? That's a minimum bar, right? Safe and entertained is another bar. Safe and educated is a higher bar, right? I mean, so those are the things that sort of have to be thought through and filled in. And it's all doable to get to a potential solution, but it's time and other associated resources.
Another task force recommendation is to pay employers to run on-site childcare programs. The task force recommends an employer subsidy of $350 per month per child. Those employers could also take advantage of an existing federal tax credit to cover some of the cost. The Juneau Assembly's Committee of the Whole meets at 6 p.m. tonight. You can follow the meeting over Zoom or through the city's Facebook live feed. With a renewed sense of urgency since the pandemic, an online Tlingit class works on the front lines of language revitalization in Alaska. KFSK's Corin Smith observes how the class is strengthening a community of language speakers and students who continue to reclaim their Alaska Native heritage.
Ah, gooch tla chwesitin. Sheet kadech ah. Ann Johnson.
On a Wednesday evening in July, students with the new online Tlingit language course log on to Zoom. Elders are often given the floor, sharing stories, memories, and songs. Adult children seated beside them listen and offer tech support. Tonight, the class begins with a student sharing a short story about her day, observing a hummingbird, and enjoying the sunshine in Juneau.
Wasaduasak. Finally,
the online class has been offered every weekday evening in July, with days for beginner lessons, intermediate, and advanced conversation. Between 50 to 120 students log on, depending on the night, to speak, study, and listen. Students participate from across Alaska and North America. Many Alaska Native languages, including Tlingit, were in jeopardy prior to the pandemic. According to the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute, in 2017, there were only about 40 fluent Tlingit speakers out of an estimated 100 speakers at various levels. The class instructor, Huni Lance Twitchell, teaches Alaska Native languages at the University of Alaska Southeast. He says the goal of language revitalization is to support new students and current speakers.
And I tell learners, you're going to learn this language, and then you're going to be able to talk to some of these really old people who are the remaining speakers, and they're going to be able to share things with you that they can't share with anybody else in the world right now. And then you're going to get to know them in this very special way, and then you're going to lose them.
That's how Twitchell learned Tlingit from spending time with his elderly grandfather. He says it's impactful for elders, too, and can contribute to generational healing.
They live their whole life just seeing decline, 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 decline. And then they're towards the end, they get to see some younger people that they can actually just talk with. And we've seen the impact, tears of joy. We've seen incredible moments that wouldn't have happened if folks didn't put in that hard work to learn the language.
As recent as a generation ago, elders say they were punished as children for speaking their language, especially at school. Stories and cases document violent assault on students, harassment, and other acts to erase Native culture, like cutting their hair. Prejudice and eradication of Native culture was a widespread systemic effort. It's a dark side of American history that Twitchell says few are willing to acknowledge.
And a lot of people don't want to do that. They'll get really upset. But they'll say, it was a long time ago. I didn't do that. I don't know why we're talking about this. Everything's better now.
Twitchell says revitalizing the language helps address the history of systemic racism and marginalization of Native peoples. And so investment in Native language learning is an investment in reviving the culture, customs, and places of Native people. Twitchell says that process and countering that erasure could address the increased rates of addiction, violence, and suicide seen in Alaska Native communities today.
Now we have to decidedly move against it in order to have a different result. Because a lot of people, they'll talk about Indigenous peoples in the past tense. Oh, they did this. They used this. It's like, no, they do that now. They use that now.
The language is evolving too, and Tlingit speakers are collaborating to come up with new words needed for today. At one point, the class discusses the Tlingit word for popcorn and parking lot.
Us doing kananeque popcorn, you sawi.
Oh, yeah, away.
The language revitalization effort is modeled after Hawaii's successful program, with the goal to offer Native language in all Alaska schools from pre-kindergarten to college. On Tlingit Ani in Petersburg, I'm Corinne Smith.
The Tlingit language class is continuing via Zoom for free for anyone interested at tlingitlanguage.com. A fishing crew near Prince of Wales Island recently made an unusual catch. This not only excited the crew, but has also caught the attention of marine biologists. KRBD's Maria Dudzak reveals what it was.
The crew of a seiner was setting their net on August 5th south of Prince of Wales Island when they noticed a small sea turtle swimming near the boat. To keep the animal from getting caught in the net, crew member Ben Dolph reached over and pulled it from the water.
We're just pursing up and we'll look over and saw the turtle in there. And it was coming up and I pulled it out so it wouldn't get hung up in there, basically so it wouldn't drown.
Dolph says the turtle hissed at him as he picked it up. He estimated it weighed about 50 pounds. A crew member sent photos to a relative who is a biologist. It was identified as a Pacific green sea turtle, a federally protected species. Barbara Mahoney is a biologist with the National Marine Fisheries Service in Anchorage. She says turtles are cold-blooded and usually prefer warmer water, so it's rare to encounter one in southeast Alaska.
The northernmost waters would be California going into the Washington area, but some turtles are oftentimes can get caught in the current.
Mahoney conferred with fellow biologists and confirmed it's specifically an East Pacific green sea turtle, also known as a black turtle. She says they have nesting beach strongholds in Mexico, Costa Rica, and the Galapagos. Mahoney says it's hard to determine, but this turtle likely came from Mexico. Mahoney says authorization is needed to handle or move a green sea turtle because of its listing under the Endangered Species Act. She says nymphs should have been contacted. The fishing crew seemed well-intentioned.
But it would have been good if they contacted nymphs after the fact as well to explain their operation or their process of what they did and why they did it.
Dolph and fellow crew member Jess Boyd say details about the incident, including location, were reported to the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. After finishing the set, Boyd says they moved out of the area to release the turtle in safer waters.
The tide was heading south, so we went south to where all the fishing boats were, you know, released him there.
Both Boyd and Dolph say they've caught many unusual things while fishing, including barrels, objects from Japan, and even a vacuum cleaner. But this was the first time either had encountered a turtle. Boyd even took a video of the turtle's release.
Tell him where to go.
Hey, buddy.
Oh, he's swimming off like nothing happened.
Bye.
He's swimming now?
Oh, yeah, like nothing.
Bye, Dory.
Both Boyd and Dolph say seeing the turtle was shocking and amazing and something they'll never forget. In Ketchikan, I'm Maria Dudzak.
A flood warning for the Mendenhall Lake and Mendenhall River is in effect until at least 11 o'clock tonight. The National Weather Service in Juneau says high winds and heavy rain came with a pretty intense storm system in the northern part of the Gulf of Alaska. Portions of Skaters Cabin Road, Mendenhall Campground, and West Glacier Trailhead are already underwater. This is KTUO.